Hi, I'm James Valentine. This is Headroom, my podcast, and this is the Even Greater Sydney Planning Committee. H.G. Nelson and I have been running this for some time, sorting out all the problems in Sydney planning. Well, in fact, we've extended it to the nation and, nay, the very world. Anyway, enjoy the latest edition.
H.G. Nelson and myself have happily taken on the task of giving insight, mentorship and leadership to all the other planning committees in Sydney, the Greater Sydney Commission, all of the councils, Infrastructure New South Wales, Infrastructure Australia. They all come to us. Some of it, look, we can't reveal all of the conversations that take place between us and these bodies. Some of it is both commercial in confidence, and some of it is just giving them confidence. So a lot of our work is really in that sort of area. It's okay. You're doing a great job. Love your work. That's the kind of thing, you know, love your work, but why don't you take it further? We've got some big ideas for you. Perhaps take on some of this. Co-chair is H.G. Nelson. And H.G., once again, you've barely had time for anything else with all the work you've been doing to help out in the area of Sydney planning. Good afternoon.
Well, thanks very much, Mr. Valentine. It's been an extremely busy week. Can I just point out that up until a little while ago, the air quality in Sydney was just first class.
Yeah.
You know, we pride ourselves on being air quality on a par with Delhi on a busy day, on par, say, Singapore, on Bahrain.
It tells you the city's active.
Thanks.
Tells you there's stuff going on.
One of the great cities of the world. A global city is a global city with a blue haze.
That's right. With air and cut.
Can I point out that it might be the day of the Bradfield Oration today? It's a tremendous get together of the big heads in planning who set the agenda for
the
coming year.
We would have been there except for the meeting.
Hang on a minute. You know. We would have been there. Look where we're at the coalface. And one of the big announcements is that Sydney is at last getting a chance to ride the new light rail on December the 7th. Now, good news and bad news there. Obviously, good news that the whole project is coming to an end. This is the light rail that links Circular Quay with the University of New South Wales, and I think it's five ways on the other side on the end of Anzac Parade there. Now, it's good news that this is happening, but December the 7th seems a bit early, but let's go with that for the minute. Now, $2.7 billion, that's what we've spent. The government has been reluctant to put a definitive date on the line opening because final testing is still underway.
Yeah.
I'd say that's a very cautious and sober assessment of what's going on. If the authorities decide more testing is required, the start of vehicles will be shifted to the following weekend. This means not a December 7th green light, but the 14th and 15th. The transport czar said the government would confirm the date once it was satisfied testing was complete. The main priority at this stage is to make sure we've crossed everything off the checklist. We're still on track to have it open by Christmas. Now, they're hopeful, of course, this is nothing to do with planning or nothing to do with the transport czar, that people will be allowed to ride free on the first day. So you need to be sharpish here, because if you've got your calendar set for December the 7th, you may have to quickly adjust it to the 14th.
Well, have they, you know, considered the fact that many families will be planning outings around the free trip on the 7th, and, you know, they'll be excited, they will have, you know, put that in, we're going to town,
we're on the light
rail, we're going to be a free ride, that if they suddenly announce that it's not the 7th, that's going to disappoint many who may already have plans for the 14th. So
you mean Christmas plans or
Christmas plans,
end of year festivities?
Christmas drinks they've got to go to. The in-laws are coming over for early Christmas on the 14th.
Because they're going to Hong Kong.
Because they're going to Hong Kong.
To riot.
There's a lot of those things. So I think, while I appreciate that they are adhering to some of the, you know, bedrock principles
of the
Great City Planning Committee, don't announce your end date, such as don't announce your start date in this case, I do feel as though they need to make an announcement and decide and go with that.
Now, of course, the trams began simulating the timetable for services last weekend. While the trams will run until 1 a.m. when operational, the government is prepared to operate them later on weekends if there's such a demand. On and on it goes. Now, the difficulty is with the testing. They've already had a tram breakdown. Now, tram breakdown, this is the following data. That great report on Wednesday, I think, by Thursday, trams were breaking down during testing on George Street, causing major intersections in the middle of the CBD to be blocked. Now, what's that smell, I hear you say? What is that smell? That smell is of new eateries opening up all along.
The boulevards.
The boulevard of
the
dreams.
Rue de Georges.
Rue de Georges. Now, can I seed an idea here? And we've got to get to what I think is the guts of this is, I notice, I think it might have been Justin Hem said, it's time we fell in love with Sydney all over again, specifically the CBD.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Falling in love, easy to do, hard to find an elegant solution. However, I want to propose today, along with a lot of other things, like obviously opening day for the trams, maybe get the Veronicas involved.
Yeah, lovely idea.
People love the Veronicas.
Yeah. One on either end of the tram, you know, singing to everybody in between.
Beautiful. Wow. And so one would come in with the sound from one end and meet with the other one in exact harmonies on one of the great heads.
They walk up the aisle, meet, and then go back to the other end.
Because they pull a crowd, and they're very good at promoting themselves, and so that would be great.
I think just their Instagram, you know, feed alone would basically, on that day, if there's their selfies that are going out.
Oh, selfies, from the
light rail, you know, here I am, Veronica 1.
Up the front with the driver.
That's it. It'd be huge.
Mm. Now, obviously, the thing we've got to do is get people down there. Obviously, Veronica's day one, that's fantastic. Yep. You might be able to get the Reformed Sonny Boys, which go-to act.
Vanessa Amorosi on another one.
Indeed. Yeah. Now, what we've got to do, I think, is, how about this for an idea? Flaneur of the year.
Mm.
Now, as we know, the eateries are already being punched into the whole of George Street, Boulevard de George.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm including everybody in the flaneur. Now, normally, historically, maybe the flaneur has been seen as a generally male side of the spectrum.
You might need to remind some of what a flaneur is. What exactly is
a flaneur? Well, a flaneur is a person who strolls about with bugger all to do.
Yeah.
Except cock a snoot here and there. You know, that's the sort of language that they understand, flaneurs. I'm going further.
Yeah.
Flaneur of the year. We have a competition run over 12 months. A big cash prize, say, put up by somebody like an eatery along that path. Mm-hmm. Let's call the one that got away, for want of a better name, of the eatery. Fish, beautiful fish. Anyway, they have chips and all that sort of stuff, salad and, you know, sometimes pasta with fish, you know, linguine and all that sort of stuff. Mm. Anyway, they put up, say, I don't want to put them in a hole here, but let's say they borrow from various sources like the city council, obviously the HEMS organisation. Let's say they get $1 million together. Mm. So we have flaneur of the year.
Yeah.
Now, the flaneur of the year is judged on clothes, swagger, attitude, and look.
Yeah,
now, remember a while ago, you may not remember.
Conversational style.
Oh, conversational
style. I feel as though the flaneur should be able to confer, throw off an epithet, a Wildian epithet at some point. And I said, should be able to converse with all manner of both high and low along the course of the boulevard.
Now, and get this. This is where it comes really interesting. The flaneur has to pick the fashion trend of the coming season.
Oh,
so at the moment, you
determines
notice,
the fashion trend of the coming season.
Very good. Determines. Yeah, yeah. So let's say people aren't wearing much corduroy at the moment. That's just an observation I made. That might be dead wrong.
Mm.
People, you know, like Julie Bishop, who keep up with fashion.
Yeah.
She's probably in corduroy every day of the week. But be that as it may, I don't see much corduroy around where I am.
Right.
Anyway, so the flaneur of the year might come out and him or her might come out in bell bottoms made of corduroy.
Exactly. And so suddenly that's the thing. They say, well, that's it. That's what one will wear
next year. Now,
it's been pointed out that flaneuse is the feminine. So we could have, I feel as though it should be one person of whatever gender.
Just
whatever
one,
identification.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Is the flaneur.
It's all comers.
It's all comers, whatever you do. I think Tim Rogers is the only extant flaneur in Australia at the moment.
Well, he sports himself as a Southern general.
A Southern general, but also
at the time of the Civil War.
He has described himself as
American
a flaneur.
Has he?
I think in Melbourne he often flaneurs, if that's the verb. He's on flanant.
Where's he flaneuring about?
Well, he flaneurs sort of from like St Kilda to North Fitzroy, that sort of thing, and he'll.
That's a fair step.
It's a fair flaneur. It's a long flaneur. He's a marathon flaneurer, and he'll be wearing, you know, he'll have the big purple shirt open to the middle, big suit, you know, big sort of mustard suit, that sort of thing, a loud check, that sort of stuff, flowing hair, impressive moustache. You know, I think he does. He's a good starting point. But I can see Sydney really taking on the notion of
Sydney to a T.
Are you seeing this is like we used to have, say, a town crier? We'll have a town flaneur, that sort of thing. This will be the flaneur of the year becomes the town flaneur, the civic flaneur.
Of course. So if delegates came, or you know, impressive people, say royalty came.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of. I don't know my royal family like I should.
Yeah.
But say 240th in line for the throne, bobs up in Sydney.
Yeah.
The flaneur greets.
Yes.
Prince or princess, whoever it is.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrific. And so a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people around the world know yeah. that if you're flaneuring mm. or interested in flaneurism, mm. this is the place to be.
Is
Global
the
f- city.
Is the
Global
flaneur,
city, that's what we're talking
is
about.
Is the flaneur ticket holder number one for the light rail? They've got the number one ticket.
I thought you were going to say the Sydney Swans there.
Well, probably the Swans, but well, generally ticket holder number one for all of the Sydney teams, from Swift to Swan. but also I think ticket holder number one and just a free pass on light rail.
Well,
ferry,
obviously it goes without doubt, free pass.
It's a terrific role. And, I mean, as you say, bring it back, bring something so forgotten back to bring that atmosphere of boulevard.
Thanks.
To isn't there also a boulevardier? A boulevardier?
Yeah, can I know. You be a boulevardier? I just thought,
is that the same as a flaneur?
Well, yeah, what a good question. But people who study these things, you know, will know this a lot better than I. Mm. But my thing was see, the boulevard, it's an overused concept, and I don't think that yeah. George Street with the light rail through it qualifies as a boulevard yet.
No.
I mean, I'm going to be interested to yeah. see what the transports yeah. are can cough up by way of eateries along
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm ready to be impressed.
Oh, yeah.
But I think a flaneur is something we can add to this now. I mean, yeah. flaneur seems to be a word that you thought of last week.
Did I?
But
yeah. Oh, it's a good word. I like it.
It obviously has history.
Couple of ideas I'd like to float for opening day, December 7, of the of the light rail, or things that they might like to think about. Are they going to put Santa hats for Christmas on the light rails? Because they're red. I mean, it's a perfect colour. They're red and white. I think a little Santa hat up the front, you know, reindeer. They're going to put reindeer antlers on the
you
on
mean
the
like
light
some
rail?
Buses are decorated with tinsel?
They've got, well, some, and they've got the moustache. The buses have got the moustache
yeah,
for
November.
So
yeah.
is the light rail going to put a Christmas hat or a reindeer antler? I'd like to see that over this period. Should we, I mean, if they're saying it'll run up to 1 o'clock unless there's demand, you know, so, you know, the hems ring through and go, look, it's pretty packed down here at the Ivy in the establishment, may as well keep them running for an hour. Is that the sort of, or is it more like an Uber service? Like I might be down in George Street and go, look, there seems to be 50 people here, we're needing to get to Kensington, could you send one back down? Do you think how's that going to work? Are they going to determine it on a, you know, night by night basis?
Do you know what I reckon? I reckon after about 2 weeks of running, they'll chop the timetable to shreds due to cost overruns,
yeah.
and they haven't got enough money to sink into, say, right. the metro out to Parramatta.
Yep.
I think they're going to be pretty brutal with it,
yeah.
and I'd be amazed if they kept it going much past 1 o'clock
yeah.
ever.
You think it'll be hourly?
It's got to be hours. I mean,
really,
after about 7:30,
yeah.
it's going to be maybe hours, and we can stretch that to 2 hours. I mean, if they're talking about a one every 4 minutes, I mean, that's a very big lot of people that are going to come in to see the Veronicas.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be Vivid-esque
yeah.
in terms of numbers. But
yeah.
you've got to remember, of course, you don't want to get too taken up by the number of people who are going to fall in love with Sydney, the CBD, because not all will live in the direction that the light rail goes. Some will have to go to Parramatta, some will have to go to the North Shore, and the light rail doesn't go there.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
I mean, it's a sort of an
it's
idea.
True. Can I bring in some agenda items here for the Even Greater Sydney Planning Committee this afternoon? Thanks for those texting through. Could we form, dear Expect, could you form a car parking subcommittee? Many people have no idea how to park on the street. Visitors to the inner city don't have the luxury of having acres of space that they perhaps might be used to. Bumper bars are flexible on cars for a reason. Could we bring in more European parking rules where the standard is leave your handbrake off, so then the car can you can give the car a bit of a nudge, move it along. So I don't know if you've seen this in European context where they'll pull in, and if they need to push that one back a bit, well, the handbrake's not on, so you just give it a bit of a push. That's
now
why the bumper
bar's
there.
You've recently been in Europe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is this how you park?
Is it
fuel park?
They give you a lesson in this at the airport. They say, now, don't forget, if you're hiring at the car hire place, they go, now, by the way, always leave the handbrake off because someone's going to give it a bit
even
of a
nudge. Even on the slope and on a hill?
Possibly not so much on the slope, and that may be one of the problems with the Sydney area. I'm not sure that we've got a flat street in Sydney. I think everything's got a slope pretty much, so there may be maybe a bit of a difficulty there. But it's
an
interesting
idea. Can I ask, look, I'm all for a parking subcommittee. I think that's an excellent idea, and it's amazing that we've done this for several years and we've not thought about that.
Yeah.
Look, I think there's so many issues in the parking. I mean, people are going to fall in love with obviously the light rail and the CBD all over again. They've been a bit grumpy. They've been down in the dumps, and they know what's missing, the love of the CBD.
Yeah.
But then they drive to somewhere like, I think, is it called the Beeline on the Northern Beach?
On the North Shore, yeah, the Northern Beeline buses.
And get in the car parks up there and so on. And I get the feeling there's nowhere near enough parking available.
No.
Anywhere.
No, it's not.
Well, now, do you know what I mean? We've just moved parking out of the CBD.
That's right.
You can't get rid of congestion. You can only move it about.
You only move it about.
Rule number one of EgSpec.
That's right. Well, and congestion is value. Don't forget. We seem to have become sort of trying, you know, we're now supporting getting rid of congestion, whereas at one point we were big supporters of congestion. So
we're going to go back to that.
We might have to have a high-level meeting to decide what our policy is there. Another suggestion, you know, like, look, we've got a lot of public transport in Sydney, but we've never got to having tuk-tuks. And this might be the sort of thing of bringing life to the city area, you know, fall in love with the CBD. Who doesn't love being in, you know, the exciting cities in the world have tuk-tuks. And there's a thrill to these things as they do tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk down the road. It's a fantastic thing.
Why haven't we had that?
Why haven't we embraced a fleet of those?
What I notice at the moment is people are tuk-tuking on their skateboards that are electric powered.
Yes.
I think that's an exciting idea.
Yeah.
Obviously, the authorities want to clamp this down because if people get on skateboards, there won't be any income for the light rail.
No. Is it?
And they get stuck in the tracks.
Can you see an Uber skateboard coming someone will, you know, you'll ring, get Uber skateboard, and then you just stand on the back with the guy.
Piggyback.
And just piggyback on the thing.
Or, you know, some sort of rack at the front that you sit on.
Maybe that's, you know, you're sort of strapped in. Maybe you lie flat and they stand on top of you. And and down you go. I can see that coming. It's, maybe just for short journeys around the city.
Now, can I say, we've got the Veronicas and that. Mm. And I noticed that Justin Hem says that, the reinvigorating of the city centre that's driven by retail and the arts and hospitality, music, live music, DJs and food.
Mm.
We want to foster late night dining and encourage people to come after their shifts. This is not a midnight onwards. It's from 6 p.m. We want a surprise and delight moments to bring excitement back to the city and encourage people to follow. Hang on a minute. What's he talking about?
Mm.
Apart from the Veronicas, obviously.
Mm. You mean?
I mean, what's going to happen on? Look, this is going forever.
Yeah.
People forget that. It's going forever.
Yeah.
It's not just one day.
It's not just now. We don't need a little festival thing. We need to make this part of our life. This is the job of the flaneur. To encourage life in all of its beauty at every turn.
So the flaneur would get a job maybe on Friday mornings on the ABC TV show, the breakfast show.
Yeah.
Terrific show.
Yeah.
And he or she would talk about what was going on in the city weekend.
That's right. But as well, during the week, they're strolling up the boulevard or Champ de Georges, as Paul would like us to refer it to. They're strolling up Champ de Georges and they're seeing the opportunity. They're going, there could be a string quartet in here. I might turn this into more like an art precinct.
Curating skill.
This is where the mimes should be, you know, this sort of thing. They're curating the Champ de Georges. Exactly. HG Nelson, myself, for the Even Greater Sydney Planning Committee, and further agenda items, HG, that you've been considering.
Yes, look, this did shock me. The word NIMBY, I haven't seen in print for some years now, maybe several decades. Mm. Now, to explain to those who are hearing NIMBY for the first time, the NIMBY is a acronym, is that the right way, where the initials stand for Not In My Backyard.
Yeah.
So NIMBY.
Mm.
Now, I noticed the Treasurer, or Planning Minister, Rob Stokes, he's got a promotion. He, in a warm-up for the Bradfield Oration, said last weekend, you know, baby boomers were primarily responsible for the hostility towards housing growth and increased density.
Mm.
He accused people of being NIMBYs.
Yeah.
Not In My Backyard. Apparently it grew up in the 60s and 70s, obviously about 50 or 60 years ago. It's now back. The baby boomers were the largest cohort of NIMBYs. He said they're reaching their level of political activism awakening at the time in the 60s and 70s when growth was being challenged.
Mm.
Now, just recently, Metro West was announced, and this is this terrific train line from CBD to Westmead, etc., with a lot of stations that aren't well serviced by public transport. Now, as I understand it, the government has the rights to compulsory acquire properties, of which they've done. They're going to compulsory acquire 120 properties.
Yep.
Where does the NIMBYism come in here? Is this just some sort of squeak hammer that Mr. Stokes has got out to belt the public over the head with?
Yeah.
It seems to me anti-planning to suggest that people in Sydney are not wanting to have their house flattened for the sake of progress.
That's right.
I mean, the expect won't stand for this.
No, well, there's no...
Bagging Sydney siders is not our go.
Someone who doesn't have a backyard can't be a NIMBY. Once you've taken their backyard, there's no NIMBY attitude to have there anymore, is there?
Well, I thought that went when they started building up around Turramurra or wherever
well,
it was.
Also, tell me, show me the boomer who's not happy to, you know, put 12 townhouses on where the family home was.
And sell the block for,
sell the block and
for
then,
50% of what it's worth.
You know, off they go to somewhere quite pleasant. Mm. I would have thought that's pretty much, they're very happy about when their backyard becomes a development site. Show me the boomers that's not quite happy to sort of, let's sell up the whole block. To, you know, get together with all the other boomers and go, kids are gone, all grown
you
up.
You only need 75%,
what do you think?
Remember.
There's 75% if we can knock down those old apartments and on they go. So I don't know who he's talking about.
Well,
you know,
it's great that he doesn't mind having a nuclear reactor in his lounge room.
Yeah.
He'd love to get the kids involved in the new technologies of tomorrow.
That's right.
But this NIMBYism has just struck me as a weird idea to come float now when there's not one block of land that we own collectively as the people who live in Sydney that the government hasn't got its dibs on.
You know, I mean, look, I think you're looking into Sydney of the future where in order to make the transport systems work for all the tunnels, for all the trains, for all the light rails, for all the various metros, for every single system, there won't be any houses. Won't be. They'll all have been acquired so that there's space for all of the other infrastructure that's needed that Sydney really needs.
Is that your dream? Is that your dream?
That's one of my dreams. One of my dreams is simply this idea of the three-city plan. I think it should be just basically three huge apartment block plan. So there's just three giant blocks, one in the CBD, one at Central River City, one at the Aerotropolis. Everything else is basically transport systems to get you from one to the other.
You know, you and I have had a dream, of course, for many years that no person in Sydney is within, say, 100 metres of a light rail or an underground metro system or anything like that. Mm. That's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
And no end of what are called financial grunt to get it there.
That's right.
I don't know what we're going to have to sell off. Obviously, sell off the trains. Yeah. That'll come pretty soon, even though they're saying they're not. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they'll go.
There you go.
The rest of the power system, I think there's 49% of that left to go.
Yeah.
China's very interested in that.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, when you start to say, all right, Mr. Developer, here's what you can do. You can have that suburb. You put one giant, you know, mega Blues Point tower kind of complex in the middle of it.
Watch the cladding, though.
What's the cladding? Make sure you get the modern stuff that won't be affected by today. The car park is built directly alongside a tunnel, which leads directly into the tunnel system. So all you do is come off the tunnel into the car park
and you're home.
Park the car. You know, these days there'll be some sort of modern system that'll just take it down even further. Yeah, you'll leave the car on level one. It goes down to level 87. You know, and then you summon it back up when you need to go anywhere. Out you go, back into the tunnel system, and on you go. Now, that's the sort of vision that I have, and that's the way in which we have to think about Sydney. This notion that, I've got to hang on to my three-bedroom fibro because there's a totem tennis and a lemon tree out the back. Sorry, it's done. It's over.
You mentioned those words that I hate, totem tennis.
Ugh. You know, the fact there was you got the above ground Clarks out there and you're a bit nostalgic about it. I'm sorry, that's done. That's done. There'll be a communal pool in the middle of your apartment block that, you know, the kids can wee in. It's
Incidentally, if you do have an above ground Clark, the Powerhouse Museum is very interested.
Yes, that's right. They'd like to get it there, particularly out of Parramatta where they can, when it floods, they can put the water into that and that'll protect all the gear. Thank you so much, Mr. Nelson. Excellent thoughts and work there. Bravo. And thanks for
Flanner
all of your efforts.
On, Mr. Valentine.
Should you and I be doing a demonstration of flaneuring on opening day of the light rail? Is that what you're thinking?
As long as the eateries are there and I've got some corduroy to wear.
I think so. It could be very, very good. I hope you enjoyed that. That was me, James Valentine, H.G. Nelson, Jen Fleming, radio producer, and Matt Hiley. We all worked together to make that extraordinary production of the latest Headroom.